Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus, 27 members of Congress that are dedicated to voicing and advancing the issues affecting Hispanics in the United States, Puerto Rico, and U.S. territories. The San Antonio area is represented in the caucus by Joaquin Castro, Pete Gallego, and Henry Cuellar, but some are wondering if the Congressional Hispanic Caucus is now irrelevant. That's the view of Ruben Navarrete. He's a syndicated columnist and a CNN contributor. And also, we're here to talk about the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, is Walt Wilson, a UTSA professor of political science. And let me welcome Walt. Walt, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And we'll get Ruben on when we have a chance. So let me ask you, Walt Wilson, about the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. You've written about them and about their role in trying to craft immigration reform. And how do you see their role in doing that?
Well, especially since Democrats gained control for two Congresses 6 years ago, the Hispanic Caucus has played a fairly consistent role in setting an agenda for comprehensive immigration reform. That means border security, it means employer verification, and it means legalizing undocumented immigrants. And the strategy has been that by embracing all of these aspects in a comprehensive package, that enough members of Congress from both parties can be won over to support a truly comprehensive immigration reform.
But you're saying they have been involved, or are they leaders in trying to representing, this is, impacting their constituents, and they would probably be the people best to know what would work and what would be effective.
Well, absolutely. And, I think that the organization has been pragmatic. I mean, we see some of the controversy coming out with regard to some of the aspects that maybe their constituency doesn't like that much, things like increased border enforcement. But basically, the bill that's been passed by the Senate now reflects the major policies that the CHC pushed back in the 110th Congress with the STRIVE Act and in subsequent Congresses. And so, I would argue that basically the narrative in Congress has been effectively defined by the CHC's policy proposals this Congress.
Let's bring in Ruben Navarrete. He's a columnist. He's also a contributor to CNN. And welcome to The Source.
Good to be with you.
So you say that the Congressional Hispanic Caucus is irrelevant. Can you kind of explain that?
That's the nicest thing I can say about them. Here's the thing. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus, I've been writing columns for 25 years. I've been writing about them for 20 years. I know many of them personally. There are a couple of exceptions to my rule. I think Luis Gutierrez deserves a hat tip for his ability to push the immigration issue. But it bears mentioning he pushed the immigration issue not only against the president of his own party, Barack Obama, who had deported, who was almost deported now, 2 million people, but also against members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. It was caucus member versus caucus member, as Gutierrez urged them to take a much more combative, aggressive stance in defense of illegal immigrants and in opposition to the president of their own party. And he had to fight that civil war in-house. So it's not just a question of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus being irrelevant. They've become oftentimes very much part of the problem. These are 25, 26 individuals who make $175,000 a year to work about 175 days a year. This is the best job many of them will ever have. They're not going to leave Congress, go off and find the cure for cancer. They hold on to these jobs like grim death. They're afraid to lose them, and that means going along to get along. And they often do that in adherence to their own party line, to their wealthy contributors back home. And on issue after issue, they have been woefully out of step with Hispanics. They only look out for themselves.
That criticism that this is probably the best job they'll ever have is something that would probably apply to everyone in Congress.
I was going to say, they're really not an exception in that regard. And you find that oftentimes many members of Congress, it's not like they're going to go off and start the next Google. They really do fight tooth and nail for those jobs. They take care of special interests. They take care of those who take care of them. If you're a Republican, you take care of business by offering tax breaks. If you're a Democrat, you take care of organized labor by helping thwart immigration reform, for instance. And that is why you do these things, because it's that money that keeps you back in office, keeps you being reelected, so you can go back next year. And that's ultimately what these people have to their credit. They have among their alumni, for instance, Ed Pastor, who I know very well. He's been a congressman from Phoenix for about 20 years. He has stood idly by when Dan Brewer, the governor in in Arizona helped push 1070 through, the Arizona racial profiling law, and did nothing and spoke out very little against the law. He's been a very ineffective leader, to the point where you've had to have people like Luis Gutierrez, Al Sharpton, and Jesse Jackson come to Arizona to do Ed's job for him. So it's a pretty sad and pathetic group, actually.
The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. San Antonio has three members of Congress who are in the Hispanic caucus. How do you feel about that? Do you think that they're working for you, that they are representing the Hispanic caucus and Hispanic point of view well? So let me ask you, Mr. Navarrete, how do you feel about San Antonio's contingent in the Congressional Hispanic caucus?
You mean the San Antonio contingent?
Yes.
Well, there's always hope, I think, when you get there. The very first time you're there, the first 2 or 3 years, your first 2 or 3 terms, Joaquin Castro is a freshman. He is someone who's a friend of mine. I've known Joaquin for about 10 years or so. He and I agree on many things. We disagree on many things. But he is still new enough to bring in, hopefully, a sense of idealism and remind his fellow caucus members that they are not there just to serve themselves and be reelected to this great job, but actually do something. So I'm hopeful. Raul Ruiz is another freshman from the Palm Springs area. I'm hopeful that he will likewise help keep some of these folks honest. But we'll see. You know, check back with me in a few years. It may be that these individuals become very much like their older colleagues.
And also in San Antonio, we have Pete Gallego and Henry Cuellar.
Pete Gallego has been a concern to me because, I mean, you have, and he's certainly not the only one, but when Filemon Vela, who is from the Brownsville area, recently, in a very dramatic move, came out and resigned from the Congressional Hispanic Caucus because the caucus had endorsed the Border Surge Amendment, the Corker-Hogan Amendment, which did something ridiculous, like double the size of the Border Patrol, because we really do need 40,000 Border Patrolmen, you see. 40,000. 20,000 isn't enough. And the fact that CHC signed off on that madness caused Filemon Vela to leave the caucus. And Pete Gallegos did not leave the caucus, even though he likewise has a district that touches on the border, if I'm not mistaken. These other members. There are other members along the border that didn't leave the caucus. It made, frankly, Bella's move, his dramatic move to resign the caucus, made the others look bad. It makes you wonder either he's wrong or they're wrong, and I'm inclined to think that they're wrong.
All right, Gallegos' district definitely covers the border. He's got the biggest stretch of border of any congressional district. And also right. Henry Cuellar goes down to Laredo and up to the valley. But the other member of the caucus, the chairman of the caucus, Hinojosa, his district is right next to Velas.
Right.
And that was that's where the conflict was.
Yeah, Hinojosa, to his credit, just came out last week in favor of Velas' position, likewise expressing concern for the border surge. So good for him. Now there are two. So there are 27 members of the caucus. Two have seen the light, Bella and Hinojosa. The others have not yet, but it doesn't reflect well on Gallegos. Anybody else who has a border district should know better. There have actually stories that have been running in CNN and elsewhere that says, guess what, guys, guess what? It turns out that the guy from Tennessee, Senator Corker, and the guy from North Dakota, Hoeven, don't know the border as well as those border guys do. Well, if that's the case, I'm inclined to believe that's true. Shouldn't the border guys, Gallegos included, be standing up to oppose the border surge amendment? Where are they? I'll tell you, they're in lockstep behind their president and their party to the detriment of their constituents.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. You're invited to call in 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We are talking about the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Ruben Navarrete is a syndicated columnist and a CNN contributor. He is critical of their performance, thinks they should disband. He calls them irrelevant. Also in the studio, Walt Wilson. He is a UTSA professor of political science. He has some nicer things to say about the caucus. And we've got phone calls also. Call in 614-8980. Let's go to the phones. Javier is standing by. Javier, welcome to The Source.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Jaime Martinez from San Antonio. I don't think we should do away with the Hispanic Congressional Caucus. In 96, close to 200,000 people marched to fix the broken immigration policies. And this Latinos and Hispanics throughout the United States have kept alive the broken immigration Today, we're very close to getting a fair and just citizenship. It's the barriers that the GOP Republicans are putting in the House. They hijacked the Senate Gang of Eight, putting all those border surges, $46 billion, adding 20,000 more border patrols, 350 miles more of border fence. And I agree that there has to be something on the border, but not all those 700 miles. It has to be at the ports where they should be putting that money. And a pathway to citizenship is a must for all of the 11.5 million immigrants in this country. And if you do away with people that have been fighting all these years, remember the ones that have been blocking us have been the GOP, the Republicans, and we're very close. We're going to fight to get a fair and pathway to citizenship for everybody.
Okay, Javier, I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you for calling in. So, Ruben, Javier's saying a lot what you're saying. He wants, you know, he's not crazy about the surge, but he supports the caucus. But you're saying the caucus is not really fighting hard enough to make Javier heard in Congress.
Right. What he's saying is that he supports the caucus because the caucus gives lip service to what Javier cares about, which is comprehensive immigration reform. So let me say that he's right to support comprehensive immigration reform, and I do too, and I have for 20 years. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not these individuals have been strong and resolute enough in fighting for Javier's interests. And I would say that they have not been, and they have Javier fooled, quite frankly, because, you know, we live in a world where saying something is really just as good as doing something. And the president, President Obama, sets the tone, whether the issue is Trayvon Martin or immigration or anything else. He wants gay marriage. He wants credit for saying things and not doing things. And apparently Javier's bought that line. So the very fact that the CHC says that it supports immigration reform means that we should turn a blind eye to the fact that they support the border surge.
Okay, we're going to continue with the phones. Robert's going to join the conversation. Robert, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much. I'm a first-time caller. I'm Hispanic. My dad's voted Democrat most of his life, and I'm a second-generation Hispanic, and I kind of voted Republican for the last, I would say, 3 years. Now, my view, and I'm not too knowledgeable on this, but the little bit I watch the news and stuff, that I know that I'm not much for the Hispanic type caucus nor organizations like the NAACP, because in my view, right, I think it kind of promotes racism. I think we're Americans and we got to help everybody. You know, I would give support my dollars to people that are going to say, I'm going to help everybody who needs help, not just Hispanics, I want to help my African brother, my Asian brother. And these caucuses, for some reason, it gives me the impression it's carrying on the old story of racism. I mean, that's just my point of view. I think we need to do any programs that help Americans and stop dividing America so we can unite and get stronger. I mean, that's just my amateur opinion.
No, sir. Thank you. I really appreciate your opinion. You were expressing an opinion that a lot of people feel. And, Ruben, that's pretty much your – I think that's right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
There are a lot of folks who feel that way as well. They felt a little uneasy about having a gay caucus, a Hispanic caucus, an African-American caucus. You know, I don't feel uneasy about having a Congressional Black Caucus. But when the Congressional Black Caucus, for instance, takes a view on No Child Left Behind, the School Accountability Act, that differs from the view taken by the NAACP, the NAACP was in favor of the law, and the Congressional Hispanic, Congressional Black Caucus was against the law. I think it's up to reasonable journalists to scratch their heads and say, that's interesting. Why is that? Why did they break on that? And the reason they broke was because, like the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, those members of Congress need money to be reelected. They get money from teachers' unions that oppose education reform. So I'm not opposed to the idea that there are separate caucuses. I just want there to be effective, not useless caucuses.
All right, let's get the conversation going back over to Walt Wilson, UTSA professor of political science. And you had some observations that you wanted to make about columnist Navarrete's opinions about the effectiveness of the Hispanic caucus.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Mr. Navarrete is correct that, you know, there's a lot of frustration about the apparent ineffectiveness of the caucus. But I think a lot of this is endemic to the way Congress works. I mean, if you think about it, we're talking about 27 members of the minority party in the House of Representatives. And I think it's, you know, in some ways quite remarkable that, you know, 7 years after a Republican House passed an immigration bill that would have turned undocumented immigrants into felons, that there is now a real possibility we could get an immigration bill that legalizes these 11 million individuals. And, you know, so to argue that the agenda-setting efforts of the caucus in the interim there, they were the ones who took the leadership on this comprehensive immigration reform idea, to argue that they have been ineffective, I think, is failing to appreciate the real barriers to getting something done that exist. I mean, you know, I understand that we want them to do more than talk, but as a member of the minority party, sometimes that's about as much as you can do.
Why is it just the minority party? There are Hispanics who are in the majority party. We have Bill Flores from Waco, but we also have Ted Cruz, a senator. He's a Republican. Why aren't they in the Hispanic caucus?
Well, I can't speak for them personally. Having interviewed some Republican members of Congress, I do think that there is some common ground on immigration for many of them, perhaps not Mr. Cruz included. The split there occurred back in the 90s over the Cuba issue. But I would say that on immigration, you know, there's a lot of common ground between Republican and Democratic Hispanic lawmakers.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Armando is on the line. Armando, welcome to The Source.
Yes, I think it's very important that advocacy groups, especially for minority rights, exist. There's always going to be controversy as far as the position they take, especially when it's not the position of, let's say, the dominant or the controlling group in our society. But I think they play a very important function, very important role. Who's to say that if we do it with this group, that other groups aren't going to follow? But there is a reason why they exist, and it's very easy to say, well, they don't represent my personal interests, et cetera, and that's understandable. But overall, when you look at the disparity, the history of what's happened to Latinos in the United States, you begin to understand how important we need to have that voice. So I think it's I don't understand why we're picking on the Hispanic caucus. You know.
Okay. Well, let me find that out. But, you know, they say if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, and having a group like the Hispanic caucus does give you a seat at the table. I mean, is that right, Ruben Navarrete?
No, it's a little seat at the table next door, the kiddie table, the table where the kids sit at Thanksgiving dinner. This is not a full-fledged seat at the table. We're not talking about the powerlessness that comes from being part of a minority party. The Democrats controlled both houses of Congress and the White House for 2 years, between 2007 and 2009, and not only did immigration reform not come to the forefront, not only was it not driven, it was kept off the agenda, and during those 2 years, you didn't hear much from the Congressional Hispanic Caucus in terms of challenging the president of their own party. They have no guts. They've never had guts when it comes to challenging their own. They're pretty good at mouthing off at Republicans, but they're scared to do that about toward fellow Democrats. And this idea somehow that we are about to get, we may get, I don't think we will, but we may get comprehensive immigration reform thanks to the fact that it was the CHC that's been in the lead, while another narrative on the left was that it's the Dreamers who've been in the lead. We should be thanking the Dreamers. Other people say we should be thanking organized labor. Some people say we should be thanking the activists who get arrested outside the White House, like Luis Gutierrez, who did so despite the fact that his colleagues tried to discourage him from doing so. So there's a long line of people lining up to take credit. I just don't see any strong argument for giving credit to the CHC when they've always been at the kid table. They've always been on the back bench. They've never been willing to stick their neck out because they don't want to lose the best job most of them will ever have.
Don't many of these members of the CHC have minority special districts? It's basically, it would be very difficult for them to lose. So they could have more courage if they wanted.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you either believe in profiling courage, which John Kennedy wrote an entire book about. You believe the politicians are there to stick their neck out, to be unpopular. I mean, I get it. I mean, I read a nationally syndicated column in 125 newspapers. I've been doing this for 25 years. You ought to read my mail, okay? Everybody out there hates my guts, right, left, and center. But I guess when you're running for Congress, you can't afford to do things that make people hate your guts because they're not going to reelect you. But if you want to go out there and be liked, you know, go out and sell shoes. Go out and become a butcher, baker, candlestick maker. But if you're going to be a member of Congress supporting Latinos at this moment in time when so many of us are under siege in a variety of ways, you got to have some guts. You got to have some character. And I don't see much of it on the part of the CHC.
All right. I used to see my mail, too. It is pretty bad. But let's go ahead and go over to Walt.
Well, I agree with Mr. Navarrete that the members of the Hispanic caucus often could be more outspoken advocates for the Hispanic community. However, I would also say that the challenges of getting a bill this big passed through Congress mean that you have to be pragmatic. And, you know, that means getting the support from a substantial number of Republicans. And if the face of immigration reform is going to be angry immigrants, those Republicans are not going to be able to vote for immigration reform for a number of reasons. Number one being that a more conservative Republican will knock them out of their district. And so the challenge here is really a balancing act.
All right, I'm going to go to the – oh, we're out of time. I was going to go to one more phone call. Well, thank you so much, Ruben Navarrete, the columnist for and a CNN contributor. Also, Walt Wilson, UTSA professor of political science. Thank you to our callers. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow.